Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend John Glennon from the Nashville Post. John, good morning. How are you?
I am well. How are you guys?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. John, we'll start on the Titans front. So, when you look at the wide receiver core, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, now Tyler Boyd joining the mix as well, that kind of shifts NWI back, Treylon Burks back. How do you view what the Titans have assembled this offseason at wide receiver, and what do you think the expectation should be for this wide receiver core heading into the season?
I like what they've done a lot, and I think there should be pretty solid expectations for this group. You know, I mean, just taking a look at sort of the Tyler Boyd acquisition lately, I mean, I think that's the perfect fit, the perfect complement. You know, I guess, first of all, you're bringing in a guy who's obviously very, you know, comfortable, very familiar with a Brian Callahan offense. So that's going to be a kind of a seamless addition there. And I think, you know, we heard Will Levis talk last week about how excited he was to speak with Tyler Boyd, simply because Tyler Boyd has actually been through this offense before. He's been the guy in the tape that Will Levis has been watching for weeks now. And Will Levis was very, you know, enthusiastic about talking to him, getting a better idea of the offense. And you know, Tyler Boyd is the guy that's used to being in an offense with three good wide receivers and kind of being the third option and producing well in that regard. So I think it's a really good fit. And then, you know, you look at the other two guys. I mean, Calvin Ridley sort of takes care of your deep threat. You know, he's got enough speed to scare defenses a little bit there. DeAndre Hopkins sort of excels out on the boundary and those contested catches and so forth. So, to me, I think it's a really good combination. You know, I mean, we're all going to see how they mix and meld together, you know, in the next few months. But on paper, it looks like a really good trio.
So, with Burks, I know some Titans – some Titans fans have, you know, talked about trading him. I don't think, you know, Titans aren't going to get anything in a trade for him. I do feel like, John, first of all, fourth receiver plays. I mean, fourth receiver gets snaps, gets opportunities. But also, it's almost like I could look at it like maybe it's a bit of an audition for him, especially if they don't extend Hopkins and this is it for Hopkins. Obviously, Boyd a little older too. I mean, they're going to need to keep replenishing the receiving core. Is that how you look at it, that basically Burks needs to prove he can stick at the fourth receiver and maybe give himself a shot to be more of a factor next season?
Yeah, I think maybe the one thing Burks has going for him in this situation is that at last there are no expectations for him, right? I mean, I guess that's the optimistic way of looking at it. You know, you talk about a first-round guy who came in here, and immediately the thought was, okay, you've got to be the next A.J. Brown. That obviously never materialized. You know, it's been one kind of injury and disappointment after another. But now he's kind of got, you know, the spotlight is off him, certainly, because he's at best, you know, number four in the pecking order right now. But still, you know, I mean, you have to believe there is a great deal of potential there. And you know, again, as you said, DeAndre Hopkins has one more year left on his contract. Tyler Boyd has 1 year on his contract. So likely there will be an opening or potentially two ahead of him, you know, coming up. And you know, if I think the biggest question mark for Treylon Burks is, can he just stay healthy for any period of time? You know, that's when we'll get to see, you know, what level of talent is there. You know, we just haven't really been able to see him get in any kind of a flow, develop any confidence over a long term, because every time he's in for two or three games is an injury and he's out for two or three games. So I don't think that this new coaching staff, you know, has completely closed the book on Treylon Burks. But I just don't think they had enough confidence in him going forward to be even the number three guy. You know, so he's going to have to do what he can with the opportunities he gets. And prove himself for down the line.
John Glennon with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So John, obviously the Titans with their first two picks in the draft have gotten a lot bigger. with J.C. Latham coming in with Tavondre Sweat. On the Latham front, what do you make of the challenge now in front of him of moving from the right side to the left side and everything that goes with that? And on the Sweat front, how do you view what kind of player he is while also the weight challenges and everything else that's around him right now, kind of heading into his first season here with the Titans?
Yeah, I think the one concern, you know, that maybe a lot of Titans fans are having is that your very first two picks, you've got those kind of question marks going ahead into the offseason and ahead into the regular season too. I think ideally, you know, especially with your high picks like this, they're more kind of plug and play, and you don't really have any questions, you know, about whether they're going to be able to move from one spot to another or do they have character concerns and so forth. So that's sort of like the nagging issue to me about these guys, is that you have questions about your top two picks. Maybe they're answered successfully, everything goes well, we just don't know yet. But, you know, in terms of J.C. Latham, if there's one guy I think we all give the benefit of the doubt to in evaluating linemen and whether a guy can move from right to left, it's probably Bill Callahan. You know, I mean, he's had 22 years as an offensive line coach. He's moved multiple guys from first from right to left successfully in the past. You know, and J.C. Latham, we've certainly seen that he's got, you know, the strength and he appears to have the athleticism. So, you know, I think the odds are good, but we just don't know yet. And I think that's a little bit bothersome for a first-round pick. Tavondre Sweat, you know, I think it didn't bother me so much. You know, I think it bothered a lot of Titans fans that he was picked in the second round, and I understand the concerns, but it didn't bother me so much from a player standpoint. I think maybe what the Titans were thinking was there was a little bit of a run on defensive linemen that had started. They were looking in the second round at having a pick there and not having another pick until the fourth round and wanting very desperately to get somebody to be next to Simmons. And I kind of like, you know, what Tavondre Sweat brings to the table. I mean, I think he's extremely talented. And again, it's just a question of, do you have the weight concerns? Do you have the character concerns? And we just don't know yet. And I think that's, you know, if there's a little bit of angst among fans, it's this kind of waiting. Okay, is the switch going to happen and J.C. Latham? Is that going to work fine? Is Tavondre Sweat, you know, going to go at all haywire? You know, I think there's some PTSD certainly from Titans fans in that earlier first round picks in the past couple of years have not worked out well. First or second round picks have not worked out well. But I like the pick of Sweat personally. I think if they judged that he's okay character wise, condition wise, I think there's a lot of potential as a player, certainly combined with Jeffrey Simmons in there.
Definitely some potential. Do you think J.C. Latham looks like a guard? Do you agree with me?
I think he's more of a center, personally. Maybe he's kind of a center, long yes. Snapper.
Fullback?
We'll give him a shot there.
But you get – did he not look to you like Roger Saville when you saw him out there?
Certainly got the frame, yeah. Certainly has that size and so forth, and you know it's hard to tell, obviously, from watching, you know, 30 minutes of drill work in one day, try to get a look forward. But I mean, there's obviously some athleticism, there's obviously some mobility, and again, you know, Bill Callahan is a guy who's done this before, who's worked it successfully, so. Generally speaking, you know, I think you give a guy like that the benefit of the doubt. If you're somebody who likes to be pessimistic, you go back to maybe Dylan Radins, and Dylan Radins has been pretty open about it the last couple of years, how difficult actually that move can be from one side of the line to the other, you know, reversing all the muscle memory, and reversing of all the habits that you've had in the past. So, I don't think it's necessarily going to be easy, but, man, he's got some tools. There's no doubt about that.
John, on the Predators front, as you look at the way the season ended, obviously it was a great run for them the second half of the year. They get to the first round of the playoffs. May have deserved a better result than they got, but here they are, one and done in the playoffs. A roster that is not as young as some people think it is, and a goaltending decision coming up for Barry Trotz and the Nashville Predators this offseason as well. So how do you view – where the Predators are now and what their best path forward is this offseason with Barry Trotz at the helm?
Yeah, they got some interesting questions, you know, and I think certainly that goaltending one, it's a puzzle, you know, how exactly to figure that out. You know, I think in a perfect world, you know, you'd like to have UC Saros for another few years, and again, kind of bring Askarov along a little bit slower. But the thing is about UC Saros, as we know, you know, he's just got the 1 year left under contract, and I don't think, you know, you're looking at a situation where you can say, hey, maybe we'll sign Saros to a 3 or 4 year deal, and that'll solve all the problems. Because I think Saros is going to be wanting one of those 7 or 8 year deals at probably over $8 million a year that we saw like Hellebuck sign last year and Sorokin also. So, you know, it's difficult. You want to keep Saros, but is that too much of a price to pay? You know, and then you know, another option that kind of leaves you scratching your head is, okay, why don't we keep Saros? You know, let Askarov be maybe a number two next year, but that doesn't seem like much of an option really either if you don't have Saros under contract for more, because what are you going to do? You're going to trade Saros at the trade deadline to make sure you get something next year, and then all of a sudden turn over the keys to whether that's you know, Askarov or whether if it's Lankinen, if he's resigned. It's a difficult situation. I mean, there's talent. Obviously, there's talent, you know, for the Predators at goal. But that's the biggest question for sure. I'm eager to see also, you know, what the Predators do with this incredible kind of glut of draft picks that they have the next couple of years. You know, they've got a ton of draft capital thanks to all that wheeling and dealing they did, you know, the previous year at the deadline. You know, and Barry Trotz was, I thought, pretty open about the fact that you know, he'd like to employ a little of that Vegas Golden Knights model going forward. Not completely as much of a wheeling dealing team as the Knights, but certainly use some of that draft capital to potentially get some prospects and younger players. So I don't think we're going to be seeing the Preds use that huge glut of draft picks. You know, what is it, 9 in the first four rounds, I think, this year, and another 5 in the first 3 the following year. I expect Barry to make some moves, you know, leading up to the draft.
Well, John, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Great stuff as always, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
John Glennon from the National Post, our guest on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll react to what John had to say coming up next. Also, throw the question out there to you. What is your expectation for this Titans wide receiver core heading into the season? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. Appreciate John Glennon for being with us in the last segment. Joe Rexroad, as you look at the work the Titans have done at wide receiver with the starting trio that we believe that will be the case with Hopkins, Ridley, and now with Boyd coming in. Number one, how do you think that group stacks up to some other wide receiver cores around the league? And number two, what do you think the expectation should be for those three in particular, but the receiving core as a whole heading into year one under Brian Callahan?
Well, I think as a trio, that's pretty good. I mean, what's the – just as a trio, it's sort of – I guess there's a question – well, I guess you could say there's a question with all three of them, but Hopkins answered questions big time last year.
He did.
And Ridley, I feel pretty confident, is going to be an impactful player. There's a little bit of a question there, like how good is he? How much of an impact does he make? Boyd, you know, again, these guys all have some mileage on them, but at this point, no real reason to think that there's a big drop-off. I mean, the Boyd deal, I guess, is almost the one thing that makes me think, gosh, like, I figured there'd be a little bit more of a market for a guy who's done as much as he's done. So maybe that's an indication, you know, that he's slowing down, that you don't want to get too excited about his addition, but he's just been nothing but a productive pro.
Yeah.
So, who are the best receiving? The thing is, who would you have said the best receiving core in the NFL was last year, you probably would have started with the Bengals with Higgins, Boyd, and Chase,
yep.
right? Well, now you take Boyd out of there. That's
still pretty good.
Still probably put the Bengals ahead of the Titans because of those two, right? I mean, with Chase, and that's the thing. I mean, so any receiving corps that has an elite player in it, and I don't think the Titans qualifies. Hopkins is a Hall of Famer, but he's not.
His best days are behind him.
DeAndre Hopkins. So who's better? I still think the Eagles, with, of course, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
Texans.
Is pretty good. Now the Texans receiving corps looks really good. As of now, of the Niners, I guess they're going to keep going. There's been all kinds of talk about different guys being moved out of there.
Yeah.
But Debo and Ayuk. And by the way, Jennings is a real nice compliment to those guys. I mean, you got to go Hill and Waddle. And you forget about Waddle because he was hurt a lot last year, but that's way up there.
What about the Lions?
Well,
St. Brown's really, really
Brown
good.
St. Brown is an incredible player. St. Brown might be as impactful a slot receiver as there is in the league. Really, he's a number one receiver who mostly lines up in the slot.
Yep.
But that's what he is. Yeah, I mean, at this point, I just – like, they got some other guys. Obviously, the big question is and I think they're banking on
Jameson Williams.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jameson. Jameson Williams to do something. And they, I mean, if you count tight ends, like LaPorte is really good, but we're just talking
purely receiving
core.
Yep.
I mean, the Titans are probably, you got Metcalf and Lockett, right?
Evans, Godwin.
Just the fact that, yeah, that's true. They're older, but they're still really good. The Vikings, just because they have Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson and whoever.
Addison's
a nice player. Yeah. Addison's a nice player. They're probably hovering around top 10-ish. Top 10 to 12. And, again, that's.
Which, think about where they were last year, right?
Yeah.
That's a dramatic difference.
Dramatic difference. I suppose you could say, like, in, I don't know where they would have been, like, in 2020. You know, Corey Davis came up like 10 yards short of a 1,000-yard season. But I still think that was one star and a passing game that did benefit a lot from the rushing attack. So it's a really good group. And, again, with Burks, I think it's if he gets whatever it is, he's going to get a couple dozen snaps a game. Now, if NWI gets those snaps, well, then there you go.
Right.
At this point, Treylon Burks.
And are we confident that he won't get those snaps over Burks?
Well, I don't know.
I'm not.
Yeah, I don't. Well, if that's the case, then there you go. Burks is just a placeholder. And I mean, right now, so the decision on an extension, his fifth year for him would be a year from now. Right now, I'd say there's about a 1% chance that the Titans consider paying him. You know, like it's very low. But could he play well enough, do enough this year as the fourth receiver to start shifting that in his favor?
He'd have to do a lot to pick up the fifth year option.
It's a big number.
I'd be shocked by that.
It's a big number, but first of all, if somebody gets hurt, I mean, he's got to play great.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got to play far beyond what he's played. So we, of course, but will he even have the opportunity?
Right. That's a big question. I think what excites me the most about the receiving core is the different skill sets that are there. Like Ridley, not that this is the only thing these guys can do, but like Ridley being able to go deep and take the top off the defense, as Randy Moss used to say. Like his ability to run, I think really excites me. You've got Tyler Boyd working in the middle of the field. And then Hopkins can do a little bit of everything, but his intermediate game, contested catches, really, really good. So like the different way that you can layer those receivers and the different skill sets that they bring to the table, those three in particular, I think really excite me. You know, we can get into the Burks and NWI stuff and where they fit in, and certainly those guys are going to get on the field. But those three, like the different strengths that they have, should provide you with an ability to attack defenses in different ways. And look, you know, A.J. Brown was an elite receiver and could do everything, right? Like A.J. Brown could go deep. A.J. Brown could take the ball after the catch and run. Like he could do all those things. I will say, like, Ridley is more of a burner than A.J. Brown was, right? Like, not that A.J. Brown couldn't run, but Ridley's got that speed where you know, the deep ball is a big part of his game. Going deep and challenging the defense vertically is a big part of his game. And I think the Titans have needed that the last couple of years. Like, they've just not really had – like, Hopkins can go deep, and Hopkins can go up and get the ball, but Hopkins is not going to outrun most people going deep. So I'm excited to see, like, what the addition of Ridley and his ability to do that opens up for the rest of the offense, too.
Yeah, and I don't think you can have too much – speed, I'm sure any team could say that, but I think with Will Levis's strength, I would want more vertical shots from him, from the Titans. I'd want to lean into him and his ability to throw the deep ball as much as possible. So definitely you would hope that Ridley would be able to do that. And look, Burks, I mean, it was like twice last year, but he did.
Was it twice?
He did. What's that?
Was it twice?
You know, he had the big one. Yeah, I think later in the year he had like a 50-yarder, right?
Okay.
Something like, yeah, 45-yarder. But, yeah, he had the 75-yarder against the Chargers. Yeah, maybe he's a guy who comes in here and there, and that's kind of his role. I think he could – he should be able to be better with contested catches, but also he can run.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Lee. Lee, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. First time calling to y'all show. Really enjoy listening to it. Guys, I just got to say, man, just listening to y'all talk about our freaking draft pick wide receivers, and it just makes me want to throw up driving my car. The fact that we have wasted now Corey Davis and Treylon Burks, literally top 15 receivers, or maybe 16 for Burks. But it's just like, my God. You're talking about a fourth receiver in his fourth year, and this guy's a first-round draft pick? Like, give me a break, man. I'm just so tired. It's just like, why do we even draft first-rounders for the Titans? Just trade them out, man. Get second, third-rounders moving forward. But it's just so frustrating, dude, with the Titans in our first-round selections and how far it set this team back. It's ridiculous.
Yep, thanks for the call, Lee. Appreciate it. I mean,
there are worse first-round picks than Burks in recent years.
Yeah, there are. It's not. I don't know if it's a reassuring thought or not, but there are. Yeah.
Corey Davis was a fine player. He's a reach. Burks was obviously a disastrous decision. A.J. Brown's second round pick, to Lee's point, take him in the second round. But the second round pick of A.J. Brown, what he turned into, kind of offset Corey Davis. Right? Corey Davis was like maybe a second round, maybe like a third round receiver. Yeah. But you did get a great player out of A.J. Brown.
You did. Look. First off,
then traded him.
Just because you got to also keep in mind, like, this is a different regime now. So,
yes.
Keep your first round picks. You know, keep drafting first round. But, like, this has been a big problem, right? Like, it's a big part of why the Titans are where they are with their roster. Their drafting has been very bad the last 4 or 5 years. And you've got to find a way to hit on more picks than they have. And we'll see. Like, I thought last year's class was encouraging. A lot of that's going to come down to how good or not good Will Levis is. We'll see. And then, you know, this year they've taken two guys that I think have the potential to be really good in Latham and Sweat. We'll see if it all works out that way. But, look, if you're going to get to a place where you're competing for championships, the draft has to be kind of the lifeblood of the way you do it, right? Like, it's hard to do that in free agency in the NFL. You got to find a way to do it in the draft.
Has to be. Yeah. And, I mean, look, the Titans, whenever they open their new stadium, was that 2027?
Yep.
The quality of that team, the last draft class, this draft class, the next one, that's going to have so much to say about it. And we don't know yet. Skoronski could be an all-pro. Guard!
Yeah.
Latham's got to be really good. Sweat could be a great player. But if not, then there's only so much you can do in free agency.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans. What are your expectations for this wide receiver core for the Tennessee Titans heading into next season? Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Bill Burr at Bridgestone Arena this Friday night. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Bill Burr at Bridgestone Arena this Friday night.
Might see me, too.
Mm.
I'll be in there laughing uncontrollably.
Yeah, you will. This is going to be the summer of Rex Road. Bill Burr concert, or Bill Burr, I don't know if concert's what you call it, but Bill Burr, he'll be there Friday night. A lot of concerts this summer, including Creed.
Rocks Road.
He'll be there for that.
So I saw.
We got to really work on doing the program live from the Creed concert.
When is the Creed concert? Is that at Ascend? If it's at Ascend,
there's two different
ones.
I think there's one at Bridgestone and one at Ascend, from what I was told.
I would
there's two different opportunities.
I would actually go to the Ascend show because I'll go to anything at that place just to hang out there.
Yeah,
I'll go there and get belligerent and boo.
I won't let you do that. You're not going to attack a friend of our show out in public.
By the way, my wife just actually sent me a thing the other day. Apparently, he's getting a divorce, so sorry.
I saw that.
I apologize.
I was sent something similar yesterday.
What's that?
I was sent something similar yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, hope everything's okay.
Our guy.
I'll wish all the best in your life, personal life,
yep,
and your decision to stop playing or making music.
Josh from Lebanon on the text line says, being a Cowboys fan, I would put the Titans receiving corps on the same page with the Cowboys. CD is elite, but after that, really nobody stands out. The Titans have some good receivers, but how much tread is left on the tires? This is from Josh in Lebanon on the text line. That's an interesting one. And I do think there is the question, like, yes, Hopkins answered a bunch of questions last year. Could he stay healthy? He was coming off the PED stuff. He was coming off the injuries, and he stayed healthy and finished with a really good year for the Titans, especially when you consider everything that was wrong around him last year. The fact that he played as well as he did was pretty outstanding. So can he follow that up again this year? Or, you know, as he gets another year older, does he start to slow down a little bit? Do the injuries start to creep in? I'm interested to see how that goes. You know, the Ridley part of this, you paid big money for Ridley. He's 29 years old, as you often bring up, the athletic prime of your career, 28 to 32.
That's right.
Like, he should be fresh. He should be ready to go. Like, Tyler Boyd, I don't think you're going to ask Tyler Boyd to do a ton. Like, Tyler Boyd, to me, is not coming into this offense and catching 90 passes like he has in the past. Like, if you got 60, 65, somewhere in that neighborhood catches out of him, you'd probably be okay with that if you're the Titans. But, like, how those three together, like, working in concert, what does that look like? And I will say this. I brought this up before. Hopkins doing what he did last year with basically no help at wide receiver. What does that mean now that you do have Ridley and you do have Boyd? How does that free him up from a matchup perspective? What could that mean for him in terms of his individual production? Because you can look at it a couple of different ways. You could say, well, there's more players to throw the ball to, which means Hopkins is going to get it less. Or you could say, well, yeah, there's more players to throw the ball to, and he may get targeted a little bit less, but the matchup should be really good, and maybe he can do more with the targets that he gets. I don't know. Like, it just depends on the way you view it, I guess.
Yeah, I'd guess it. His production would go down some. They just leaned on him so heavily last year, and I think some of those easy, quick throws are going to go to Boyd, you know. And again, I mean, Hopkins can work any part of the field.
Yeah.
He's really, really strong with the intermediate stuff, and he's still going to have a lot of production. But then I think Ridley, it's going to be – I would imagine there'd be some lost production, but a better offense as a result. Indy Ben's mad at me that I said they have a top 10 receiving corps, that he says they're third in the division.
So Houston's one.
I don't think he's talking about the Jags.
Indy's two?
Let's see. Now, they did add A.D. Mitchell, who I like him. And I like Downs. Downs was good last year. Yeah. You got Alec Pierce. You know, you got Pittman back. So I think I'd give the Titans the edge, but I think it's definitely the Colts have gotten better there with Downs and now Mitchell.
Yep.
Those are good additions that they definitely needed to do. But sorry, Indy Ben, third. You're third in the division. So, hate to tell you, buddy.
I got a texter that says 25 touchdowns from wide receivers this season. If the offensive line protects Levis. I think you probably sign up for that right now. That's a pretty good amount.
That's a pretty good number. Yeah. How many does NWI get of those?
I don't know.
He's got to get at least three or four.
That's the thing.
Are they selling them short?
Like, I'm not kidding. People keep talking about Burks being wide receiver four. What has worked? What has he done at this point to surpass NWI? Like, we keep talking about Burks being on the field more than NWI, and that's never happened before. Like, he's never been on the field more than NWI. So I get it. It's a different staff, and you like the talent would suggest that he should be on the field more than NWI. But I'm just saying he has not been to this point. So
mm-hmm.
Is that just going to change this year because we think it should? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I know that Vrabel loved NWI. I think any coach, Any coaching staff's going to like NWI, but will they love him like Vrabel loved him? I don't know.
Probably not.
So that's. I think it's a great. It's actually. It's a great test of where Burks is.
I would ask you this: if you were forced to bet right now, who would end up playing more snaps for the Titans this year, NWI or Treylon Burks? Like, I would probably lean NWI. That's just me.
I'd bet Burks. I wouldn't bet a lot of money as long as we're talking about a low.
Yeah.
Like, I'd bet $5.
Yeah.
But I'd lean Burks. But you're right; it's close. Certainly, you could see it playing out that NWI is just more reliable and. He gets more snaps and he blocks better, or whatever. I mean, does this?
Well, and also Burks like can't stay healthy, right?
That's true too. So yeah, there's where he starts. You know, be number four and get more snaps in NWI. Then you build from there.
Exactly.
If you can't get to that point, then you know it's not going well.
Not going well. And also, like, what happens if? What happens if one of those top three get hurt? Like that, you know, Kuharski's talked about this too with the depth at wide receiver. That's something that they've needed to improve. Like, you know, Hopkins was healthy the whole time last year. Hopefully he can do that again. But what if he doesn't? Like, what happens if one of those guys goes down? Then Burks, NWI, whoever is going to be forced into a higher role then. And maybe going back to your Burks conversation, like maybe that's when you take advantage of it, right? Like, I do think there is something to, and I think I'm a little bit more out on Burks than you are. I think there's something to the idea of there's really not a ton of pressure on him to be like the guy this year. There is a pressure on him to like prove that you need to stay in the league, mm-hmm. which is a different type of pressure than he's dealt with the last couple of years. So how does he respond to that? You know, I can't remember who said, maybe it was Corey Curtis who said this with us a couple of weeks ago, but I think we are. You're going to find out a lot about what he's made of this year. Like, the writing is on the wall if you're him of, oh, like, if things don't change, then I'm gone. Like, I'm not going to be here the year after this. So this has got to be a wake-up call. Maybe it's not the right word. But if you're him, you have to know that you've got to start to put something together this year or you're not going to be here the year after that.
For sure. This brings to mind something. I think D-May said this, and I have a real problem with it. So let me attack D-Mace.
We'll do that.
He said it. Okay, we can do that on the other side.
We'll do that coming up next. Some retribution for Rex Road against D-Mace.
Sparty versus Sparty.
Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road. Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. So you're taking a shot at D-Mace to close out the show here in retribution for what he did to you yesterday.
If I'm wrong about this, well, I don't feel so bad because he thought that I was saying that J.C. Latham needs to play guard. But I'm pretty sure I heard D-Mace recently say that throughout his career, Treylon Burks will be compared to A.J. Brown. And I must say, no one's talking about A.J. Brown anymore with this dude. I mean, obviously he's going to be tied to him because of the move on draft night, but people would like him to be like Hollywood Brown. At this point, I mean, think of like an average receiver, AJ. Like,
I'd take him to be Yancey Thigpen.
There you
go.
Good old Yancey Thigpen, who, by the way, dropped this pass. You were too young to remember. He dropped this total easy touchdown at the end of the year against the Packers, which robbed the Lions of the division. It's classic Lions football. Job, Yancey.
For the brand.
Yeah. Yeah, like, we're done with A.J. Brown stuff with Treylon Burks. Like you said, it's trying to stay in the league. So hopefully I'm right about that, but if not, I don't feel too bad about it.
That's good.
On that topic real quick, someone, apparently Jared's saying this whole right tackle thing, like Conklin was his example. I mean, Conklin came out of college at 6'6", like 308. He was hoping to be a left tackle. He came here. He became a right tackle. I mean, Taylor Lewan is not like, all left tackles are not built like Taylor Lewan.
No.
Like, he was a special case of a very long, very athletic left tackle. There are others that are much bigger and meatier. It's just that Latham, oh, never mind. You know, whatever. He's a tackle. Fully embrace it.
What's
he's
he built
tackle.
Like?
He's built like a guard, but he's a tackle. But again, he's 6'6". I went through the measurements. He's got the length and all that stuff. It's just that he's a tank.
Didn't Brugler say he'd be a guard? Some teams reject him as a guard.
Well, he did say that.
Let's speak this into existence.
He did. He said that some teams project him as a guard. I don't think the Titans are looking at that at all.
I don't think so.
They should. I never said they should.
He's going to play left tackle. Rand Carthon, the night they drafted him, said he's starting at left tackle. So
yeah,
I would hope
he's going to be their left tackle.
What happens?
Yeah, at some point, we're probably going to be talking about right tackle this year as the biggest question. But we'll see. We'll see if Latham can be good. He'll be a tackle.
Anytime we bring up a tackle. I feel bad. Like, anytime we bring up NWI, the text line just goes nuts. NWI. NWI is inevitable on the text line. It's not his fault. He's been playing in a role that he shouldn't be playing in the last 2 years. He's done the only thing you can do. Go out there and make the most of it.
Hey, man. Why do you want his
fault the Titans couldn't find better wide receivers.
Exactly. And plus, like, he actually has made a lot of good plays.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what he does. Like, the funny, someone had like a, in fact, Ryan from Chicago sent me this the other day. He DM'd me. Someone put together a highlight tip of NWI. He made a lot of plays. He scored some touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's caught some passes. He's had production. Why do you hate him? Like, NWI deserves respect. Mason Kinsey gets brought up for no reason ever. But NWI has produced on a football field on Sundays. Give him some respect.
Mike from Clarksville says, good morning. I hear so much about the wide receivers now, and deservingly so. I'm excited, of course, but can you talk about the running backs a little? With the loss of Henry and the addition of Pollard, how he and Spears will work in the offense and the effectiveness they may have together with the new wide receivers and offensive line additions. The running back room, it's going to be a different way of doing things. Like, I think for the foreseeable future, gone are the days of one running back being the bell cow. I think you're going to see a much more collaborative approach at the running back position next season. I actually like it, though. Like, I like Pollard. I don't love Pollard. I like Pollard, and I like Spears a lot based on what he did in year one. So that combo together, I think, has a chance to be pretty effective. Hopefully Pollard is fully recovered from the injury issues that you could see he was still pretty clearly dealing with last year.
But I think later last year he started to look more like himself.
He did.
Yeah. I think it's a good combo. It's an interchangeable combo, which is a good thing to have. Any down, either guy, it's not any kind of a tell. And that was one of the fair criticisms of the Derrick Henry offense, his predictability, and just the fact that he just was not going to be out there in certain situations. If either of these backs is playing well, either of them, if the Titans are down late in the game and they're basing a two-minute offense, either of them could be on the field. Derrick Henry was not going to be on the field. You know, so there's still a guy who was one of your biggest game breakers and your best all-around football player was not on the field at a critical moment because it didn't fit his skill set. So that's done. But to answer the question on how good they'll be, are the Titans going to block? The receivers, are the Titans going to block? Will Levis, are the Titans going to block? I hate to be a broken record, but like the Goff signing really is like one of the, like, please see it for what it is. Good job for him. Also, man, is it good to have a right tackle, by the way, who is their best football player and a bunch of other good linemen.
Who do you think ends up with more carries, Pollard or Spears this year? Pollard had 252 last year with the Cowboys for 1,000 yards. He was at 4 yards a carry, which is not great. You'd like to see that go up. But again, you could see he was pretty clearly coming off an injury. Who do you think ends up with more carries this year, Pollard or Spears?
That's a good question. That's a tough one. That's a really tough one. It's almost like the Burks NWI thing, which I think is really close. But I would lean toward Burks. I think Burks will respond to some extent. I guess I'll go Spears. I definitely liked him as a rookie. He's younger.
I'm going Pollard.
Yeah, there's not a blatantly wrong answer there.
Pollard has been a good player, right? Like, he's not Derrick Henry. Nobody would say that. But he's been a good player. I mean, we've seen it with, you know, when you're dealing with knee stuff and all that, sometimes it takes 2 years to fully get over it. He's only 27, right? So it's not like he's ancient by any stretch of the imagination.
He had a broken leg, though, right?
Broken leg, yeah.
Yeah.
So when you start to recover from things like that, sometimes, especially at that position, maybe it just takes you a while. Like, the hope is he gets back to what he was a couple years ago where, you know, he was averaging, let's see here, the number was right in front of me, and now it's disappeared on Pro Football Focus. It was 5-2 a carry. Like, you take that right now. 5-2 a carry, sign me up for. If you could get back to 5, I'd take that. Like, the drop-off from 5-2 to 4 last year was pretty stark for him.
Yeah, and I do think that first half of the season it was 3-something. So, yep. Again, he got better. But, yeah, he's a good player. He basically started taking carries away from Zeke, even though Zeke was getting paid at the time.
Yeah.
Because he was just – it was a guy, like, you had to get the ball in his hand. So, I'm glad to see some people – speaking out to defend NWI. It's good to see that not all of this fan base qualifies as an NWI hater.
It's kind of like
good job, folks.
I'd like to get people in the middle of you. Like, there's the NWI hater, and then there's the president of the fan club that you
are. That's right. So
where's the button?
What
NWI. Do you think this is the year that we get him back on the show? Like, we tried it once.
Has the restraining order run out yet? I don't know.
We tried it once, and I don't know if it's fair to say it didn't go well, but I don't know that he enjoyed it.
I think it went fine, and then when I tried to explain the whole situation, I just fumbled all over myself, and I can't blame him for being like, okay. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. I would love to know what the conversation was from him when he hung up the phone.
Ryan from Chicago and Michelle Perry were the ones who were stalking him because they lived in the same apartment complex. By the way, did you guys see that I did give you a picture of my shirt from the van? I mean, I think it's a nice shirt. Oh, Jared's blowing me up. Right tackles. Okay, Jared. Yes. Okay, right tackles are heavy. He's giving me Sewell. On Wenu and Latham. Yeah, okay. I mean, again, you use Conklin as an example, he's 308. Jordan Mulata is 340. Right tackles are bigger, thicker, and have broader shoulders and wider butts, like Evan Neal. All right, Jared. I mean,
butts.
I don't think this is true as a rule. I don't think this is something that needs to happen. It was probably a good thing to say several years ago about the NFL.
615-737-1025, our phone number. That's going to do it for us today. We covered a lot of ground on the program today.
We did, and I got to distance myself from Stilly. Never put me with him again on a take.
We'll be back tomorrow. By the way, got Diana Russini coming up later this week on Thursday with Charles Robinson. So what a day that's going to be.
Yeah, NFL Insiders Day.
Chasing Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.